And we're back, and it's the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. And our guest this afternoon further is Tamara Lawrence of the Canadian Voice for Peace, Voices for Peace. Are you there, Tamara?
Yes, I am. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're very glad to be talking to you. Anxious, actually, because NATO is turned up in this story, which is commanding the world's headlines. That is Donald Trump's threats against the Islamic Republic, his murder, assassination of an Iranian leader, and then the resulting violence and near war between Iran and the United States. I think we could almost call it a quasi-war. And Canada's role came up in two ways. One, they said that Canada is being asked, along with others, by the Iraqi parliament to leave Iraq. But then Canada is a member of NATO, and NATO is involved. So could you kind of take all this apart for us and explain what your view of this is, how Canada should be behaving, and your views on particular problems with being in NATO?
Yes, there are a few things here. So Canada has been involved with NATO in Iraq on a training mission for the Iraqi army. And on January 8th, U.S. President Trump said in a televised address that he wants a greater presence for NATO in the Middle East. Now, this is very disconcerting. This is very dangerous. We don't want NATO to have a greater presence in the region, because NATO has been destabilizing the Middle East. So we just have to think back to that NATO led the combat mission in Afghanistan. Canada was involved with NATO in Afghanistan from 2002 to 2014, and Afghanistan, which borders Iran, is very destabilized. And Canada has been working with NATO in Iraq, both with soldiers and with special forces. So we've been training Iraqi soldiers around the capital in Baghdad, but also in the north with the Kurds. And our NATO and the U.S. Administration have been, you know, urging Canada to play a greater role in the region, and peace activists in this country do not want that. We want U.S., NATO, and Canadian troops out of Iraq, out of the Middle East, because we can see from, you know, two decades of war that the military intervention, the military option, has not been working.
Yeah, you touched on something, and I'm really glad you raised it. It's three things going on. We have a training mission, and we have the NATO business. But then you say there's special forces. When they say there are, by the way, I never find stable numbers how many we're talking about. I hear 500, 800. But when you say special forces, are they included in this number when they're talking about Canada's presence?
Well, for many years, the Canadian government refused to admit that it had special forces. So this is our Joint Task Force 2 that's been operating not only in the Middle East, but we know in Africa, and we suspect, too, in Eastern Europe. The Canadian government, the Department of National Defense, obviously doesn't provide very much public information about special forces, but some information has come out because foreign journalists have seen Canadian special forces with the Kurds, for instance. What Canadians need to be really concerned about is that there is virtually no parliamentary or public oversight of our special forces. And we know that our special forces were operating with the Kurds in northern Iraq. And in fact, they were operating in a way that was often in contradiction to the central Iraqi government in Baghdad. The Kurds want a separatist state in the north. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of oil assets in that part of the the country, and that's where Canadian forces, we know, were operating. Mm-hmm. And so, this is really
inconsistent with our values. That is rather suspicious activity, isn't it? On this show, I interviewed the writer Taylor. I can't think of his first name. I think you know him.
Scott Taylor of Esprit de Corps magazine.
Yes, Esprit de Corps magazine.
A former soldier.
And on our show, he said... he had been there more than once, and he said that what he noticed, there are Canadian guys as soldiers there, but he said there are no Iraqi flags, they're only Kurdish flags. And clearly, in other words, Canada was working rather zealously with a separatist group whose goal it was to take away part of Iraq.
That's right. And this is why, for instance, the Iraqi people have been protesting for years. They have been on the streets calling for foreign forces out of their country, U.S., NATO, Canadian forces out. And very recently, in the last 2 weeks, the Iraqi parliament passed a motion saying they want foreign forces out, including the United States. And Canada needs to heed that call. We need to respect the sovereignty of Iraq and get our forces out, because we are not helping the situation. I mean, the poor country has been suffering from decades of war and from sanctions, and they do not want their country to be a battleground between the U.S. and Iran, and they do not want to have continued occupation by foreign forces of their country. So the United States has one of their largest bases in the world is in Iraq. The United States has a dozen bases in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, in Bahrain, in Oman, in Turkey, in Iraq. We're surrounding Iran, and it's destabilizing. It's provocative, and so we need to have the U.S. and NATO out of the region, and we need Canadian soldiers out. That's what they want, and we need to listen.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Tamara Lawrence, Canadian Voices for Peace. By the way, let's mention, you're quite active. People could join. You often demonstrate or picket offices of parliament members that you think should be addressing this issue. You also picket any NATO offices here. I hope people can join in with that. Can you tell how people can, is there a place they can go to follow this activity?
Yes, we have a website. The Canadian Voice of Women for Peace has a website. It's vowpeace.org. We also have a Facebook, and we post events. Last year, I organized a monthly protest outside the NATO Association of Canada office, which has their main office in downtown Toronto. Last year was the 70th anniversary of NATO, and the Canadian government launched this We Are NATO campaign, and I wanted to take a public stand to say we are not NATO, and Canada should get out of this dangerous military alliance. And I organized a protest outside the office, and we passed out leaflets, and I was very heartened that every month there were people that came and joined me on the street, and I continued to protest NATO. So we had a demonstration last Tuesday. We also go to the offices of the Finance Minister, Bill Morneau, and our Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland. They both have offices, their constituency offices in Toronto, and we've had demonstrations and delivered letters to them to let them know where we stand on the issues. So, for instance, Bill Morneau last week, our Finance Minister, we said we want military spending cut, and we want investment in urgent environmental and social needs. And we've told our Deputy Prime Minister, Chrystia Freeland, that we want Canada to be a force for peace and disarmament in the world. We don't want Canada to stay in NATO. We want Canada to get out. NATO puts intense pressure on our country to increase military spending and to continuously modernize our armed forces. And those are just not the security needs of this country. We need things like affordable housing. We need action on climate change. That's what Canadians want. They don't want our precious tax dollars being wasted on new fighter jets, on new warships, on light armored vehicles. Yes. The other thing is people need to be aware of the fact that NATO is very much dictated and dominated by the United States, and that the NATO Association of Canada office that's in downtown Toronto is funded by the big U.S. weapons manufacturers, Lockheed Martin and General Dynamics. So this is a military alliance that is just run its course. It's been involved in too much illegal activity, and it's diverting us, diverting our resources and our attention from our real security needs, which is the poverty crisis and the climate emergency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and talking to you previously, you made a nice comment, and it seems so reasonable to me. The United Nations was formed at the time of the defeat of Nazism and the desire for an international order. And you said we should have just remained. We have the United Nations. We do not need NATO. That NATO came into being as a part of this confrontation with so-called communism or communist states, or Soviet, however you want to formulate it, the Warsaw Pact. But NATO was formed first, and now it's still there.
That's right. NATO was formed in 1949 with a dozen countries, the victors of the Second World War. And really, NATO was established to keep a presence of the United States in Europe after the war. There were stay-behind NATO troops throughout Europe.
They're still in Germany.
They are absolutely. And it wasn't until 6 years later, in 1955, that the Warsaw Pact, that was led by the Soviet Union and its satellite countries, formed a military alliance in opposition. Well, the Warsaw Pact ended in 1991 with the end of the Cold War, and NATO should have ended there as well. Instead, what happened is that NATO expanded. So it went from a dozen countries to now 29 countries, and they're developing these NATO partners with Australia and New Zealand
and
Colombia.
Is it Montenegro?
Yes, that's right. That's right. So it's expanding militarism. It's expanding militarism in the world, and it's maintaining this Western
and it's a nuclear
neoliberal order. Yes.
Yeah. Please talk about the nuclear aspect, because I remember Chrystia Freeland saying, "Oh, we don't want to sign a end nuclear weapons agreement at the United Nations because we're protected by the United States."
That's right. In 2017, the international community, 122 countries, negotiated a treaty to ban nuclear weapons at the United Nations, and Canada refused to participate in the negotiations, and it also has refused to sign on to this new UN treaty. And it's refused to join this treaty because of our membership in NATO. NATO is very much a nuclear weapons alliance. And in fact, NATO has a first strike doctrine where it will use nuclear weapons against other nuclear armed countries as well as non-nuclear weapons country. And this is in violation to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. Canada is a party to the NPT, and Canadians do not want our country to be part of the proliferation and maintenance of nuclear weapons. I mean, these are the worst weapons of mass destruction. And Canada right now is aligned with the United States. The United States is spending $1 trillion to modernize their nuclear arsenal. This is very destabilizing. This is very dangerous. This makes the whole world very insecure. What we need to be doing is getting out of NATO and working with the international community to abolish nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's Tamara Lawrence, Canadian Women's Voice for Peace, and we're being failed, are we not, by our political parties? We often talk about this, that we don't have members of parliament who are even as vocal as some Americans. In the United States, Bernie Sanders talks about these things rather openly. Tulsi Gabbard talks about it. Other elected members of Congress. But in Canada, it's silent as a tomb.
That's right. I think that there is this feeling among the political class in this country that they do not want to criticize the military because they think that it shows disrespect and they're unwilling to critique it. And I think this is extremely problematic because there are American politicians like Bernie Sanders, Ro Khanna, and in the United Kingdom, for instance, Jeremy Corbyn and Fabian Hamilton that have scrutinized and criticized what their armed forces are doing. And we need more political resistance and opposition, and we need to have members of parliament challenging the fact that, you know, we've got soldiers right on Russia's borders, that we continue to have, you know, troops in the Middle East, that we're continuing to sell arms to countries like Israel and Egypt and Saudi Arabia. And
which is at war with Yemen.
That's right. And we aren't a peace. We aren't a leader for peace and for disarmament and international solidarity in the world. We are too much aligned with the United States, and we're aiding and abetting U.S. imperial wars.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on that, lastly, on that point again, you know, here you are, you're acting out as a Women's Voices, Voice for Peace, and targeting this very dangerous entity called NATO to save us. You would think that an elected representative would think, I should represent the people who voted for me, and I should look into matters like this one, troubling matters like nuclear weapons, aggression against other states, first strike. And I should, you know, provide a little, not just a voice in Parliament, but actually get around the world and ask a few questions. Go talk to the American congressmen who are against NATO, or go to talk to Jeremy Corbyn. Act like a representative of the people and say, here's what I found out. I want to know why the government is doing what it's doing.
That's right. We need to have more courageous politicians in Canada. That's something that really we are lacking. I think that Canadian politicians don't want to rock the boat with the United States. They don't want to jeopardize a trade with the United States, but we're a trading nation. There are many other countries that we trade with. I mean, we need to follow our values, our supposed liberal values of, mm-hmm. you know, of peace and diplomacy and democracy. I mean, if Canada truly cares about those values, then our actions need to match that. And in so many ways, they don't. The other thing is we don't have Canadian politicians challenging the fact that we're disproportionately spending on the military. We're planning on spending tons of tax dollars on a fleet of new fighter jets, and we're building new warships, and we just spent $3 billion in August on the sole source contract for light armored vehicles from the General Dynamics plant in London, Ontario. You know, I mean, these are not security priorities, and what Canadians need is affordable housing, is mental health care, is addiction and help with addictions. We have an opioid crisis in this country, and we have a climate emergency, and those should be our spending priorities, and not spending on war and weapons. We need to be investing in sustainable development. We have the Sustainable Development Goals. We have the new UN Agenda for Disarmament. Canada needs to be a leader for that.
Yes.
Canada is also trying to join the UN Security Council. Well, we don't have a track record that the rest of the international community admires. Canada has been involved in illegal military interventions, in coups, in wars, and I don't think that we're going to get the votes that we need for a seat on the Security Council because of...
Well, we haven't earned it,
because
right?
Of our actions. We absolutely haven't earned it.
Yeah.
We absolutely haven't earned it. And if that's something that we want to be doing, yes. Then we need to start acting better in the world.
Yes. Well, I got to say, your actions are very good. This is Tamara Lawrence, Canadian Women's Voice for Peace. I hope that the organization grows. I think that Canadians absolutely agree with you. I think the polling shows that that's what you've described actually is a popular sentiment, but it's not being expressed by politicians. It is being expressed by Tamara Lawrence, and we thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
We'll talk again soon, we hope. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Taylor Report, CIT 89.5. We have Phil Oakes' attitude on the matter. We'll play a little Phil, and gee, our name is Phil Washington.